Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I am your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? Listen, everything's awful. Let's just cut to the quick on this one. Everything is disastrous. Everybody is all panicked. Everyone is scared. Not necessarily me. I won't throw that. I guess most people, a majority. I'm just chilling. It's you got to be smart about these things, right? So if you're smart about it, you're feeling fine. Like there's nothing. It helps that I'm in North Dakota and there's nothing to do. So it's not as if I'm missing out on much of things. So who's none the wiser now living in a rural area? Me, your boy. That's who. We'll run down all the cancellations. We'll run down what happened to Team Maryland's playoff situation after Game 1 last week, and then a couple years in reviews, and what will happen with this podcast for this season moving forward. So let's get to just everything. Obviously, you guys by now heard the NHL has canceled their regular season due to the COVID-19 virus. And there's some emails that I have obtained through a source that is not my regular source, but actually, it's Johnny. Johnny sent me his Dash auction winnings, which he won another jersey. Shout out to Johnny winning a Fire jersey. It doesn't look great. Doesn't look great for a return, even to the playoffs. Like the NHL said, regular season, playoffs probably not looking that great either, folks, because it's just going to be a hodgepodge of a mess. So we will see how this goes. We'll keep you updated, but the best hope is to have no hope at all. And then if nothing comes from it, hey, you were right all along. If something does come from it, you're pleasantly surprised. So there's that. EHL has canceled the rest of their playoffs due to the virus. Team Maryland was just eliminated, so that's their season ended with the rest of the league. They played the last EHL game of the season, literally. So there's that. And then the U.S. Hockey Nationals have canceled, including the ACHA Nationals. A lot of area teams were going to Nationals. So was Navy's women's team was going to Nationals. So a disappointment there. Obviously, again, all for the right reasons. These are being canceled for the safety. And obviously, with seeing people still out and about, they can't figure it out. So you have to tell people what to do. It is very dystopian, almost. Very lawless, getting to that point. Almost a police state. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Mostly for the fact that, you know, you just hear these things, you see these things. And I'm sure if you listen to Face Off Hockey Show when the podcast drops on Thursday, I'll have some thoughts. So we will talk about that then. But as for right now, everything at a standstill. Nothing. The AHL, the American Hockey League, the AAA League, they put out an email, a press release saying that nothing was going to get done until at least May. They would start start back up if there is any kind of reason to. Obviously, people throw in weird playoff situations around in terms of what's to happen in the NHL. So the ECHL and SPHL have canceled everything. It's everything is going to hell in a handbasket, folks. And 2020. Woo! How about that? Anyway, so yeah, it's hard to put a good spin on this because there's nothing good about it. I mean, there is some good. I mean, there is some good stories, but by and large, everything else is kind of garbage. Kind of freaking garbage. So we soldier on and we stand tall and move forward smartly and everything like that. Yeah, there's that, folks. We are moving forward to some normalcy. And like I said, Team Maryland was eliminated from the playoffs. They lost that. This is kind of awful, too. They lost to the Philadelphia Little Flyers on Wednesday and Thursday, losing their 3-game series, 2-1. Wednesday, a 6-1 defeat with the only goal coming in the early second frame. Johnny Johnson, a power play goal from John McDonald. And that was all the scoring there to be had. Not great. Peter Saiolas with 24 saves in the losing effort. Then they moved on to Thursday at Piney Orchard. Team Maryland looked good ahead. They got off to a 3-0 lead. Denny Arkhipenko, even strength from Johnny Johnson and Cody Rumsey. John McDonald, even strength from Tristan Mock and Jackson Dobick. And then Cody Rumsey, even strength from Arkhipenko and Jackson again. Then Philadelphia scored 6 unanswered. They scored 3 of their own in the second and then 3 in the third to end it all out. And that's all she wrote. Zach Richards, 32 saves in the losing effort. And Team Maryland gets eliminated. Doesn't really matter much now. But that's how it was. By and large, I mean, Johnny Johnson coming over to the Team Maryland, huge benefits to this. I mean, he came over and had a hell of a season, hell of a second half. I would love to do the stats, but I didn't think that far ahead. So, yeah, it's a huge situation. Good to have him on there. And Team Maryland gets props for definitely going ahead and making the playoffs first and foremost for a team that was at the dregs last year. They actually became very competitive under Josh Fusco and everyone surrounding that team, getting their stuff together and making sure things worked. And they did it. They did a good job to get to the playoffs, falter there in the last two games, and then is what it is. But it's a good building block moving on to the next season. Also, a lot of guys committing, including Michael DeLaurier, who committed to Northland College in Wisconsin, D3 school. So shout out to him for getting that NCAA commitment. Another big point for Team Maryland, also the Maryland Black Bears, having guys advance into the NCAA program to make sure that they continue their hockey career as well as their academic career in all of this too. You want to play hockey to be able to make something of yourself, whether it be a hockey player or otherwise. So to use hockey as a skill to get yourself some college money, definitely a good thing. So shout out to DeLaurier on getting that commitment. And we will do a Team Maryland year in review next week on the podcast. We will have a podcast next week for the uncertainty of everything. Yeah, so that's what's that with Team Maryland. Some year in reviews, though, for this week. We'll start off with the Stevenson University Mustangs men's division as they went ahead and they had a heck of a season. I'm going to have to say. The season this year was far better, obviously, than that they had last year. I mean, this is a team who found themselves ranked for that middle part of the season. Very very good for them to have getting national recognition on a stage like that. Second half of the season, though, a little bumpy road. A little bit of a bumpy road. Things started to get a little bit shifty. And then towards the end of the season, it just, you know, things happen. But 18-8-2 for their record, 13-4-1 in conference. Home and away stats, their split's pretty decent, 10-5-1 at home, 8-3-1 away, 120 goals for. And then they gave up 35 shots a game while scoring 4.29 goals a game. So that's pretty dang huge when you look at the stats of this team and what this team was able to become with, you know, especially with Ryan Kenny in net. I mean, a kid like that, a freshman coming on and having the year that he did from the early going, I mean, that's something that you want to be able to tip your hat to as the freshman comes in and plays 23 games, almost unheard of, logging over 1,300 minutes. 295 goals against, an .896 save percentage, 14-6-2 for himself. While Dylan Schoen with the other picking up most of the other load there, 3-1-0 with a .875 save percentage, 292 goals against. But on the offensive side, it was one of those things where couple seniors come in there with a little freshman in the middle. There is Dominic Brenza with 32 points this year. Big on the shorthand, too. 3 shorthanded goals leading the team, which is a huge boost for that penalty kill to have Brenza out there. And Brenza played a lot of different areas as well. So, I mean, the utility player that he is. Then, you know, go from a senior to a freshman in Austin Master, 13 goals, 31 points total, and then sandwich that with Nick Gray, the senior, 20 goals, 30 points overall. and also got himself a pro contract with the Birmingham Bulls of the Southern Professional Hockey League before they shuttered down for the year. So good to see him advance in the game as well as they move onward and upward. Christian Ripley, another senior, had a heck of a season, 11 goals, 27 points, three power play goals. Carl Leiden, kid's only a junior, and he had a 15 goals, 7 by way of the power play. So you want to talk about a power play specialist right there. Also, another junior, Houston Wilson, 5 power play goals for him. 5 of his 8 goals came on the power play as well. So the Stevenson Mustang are a team on the rise. Like, this is a team that is gunning to do things. Not only do they have the offense, you look back further into the lineup. Martino Piccarello has a plus 10. Only one assist this year in 20 games, but defensively he was a stalwart. Same with Matt Capucci on the blue line. 4 assists, plus 13. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, you don't get a lot of shots from these guys. You're not going to get a lot of offense created. But the sheer fact that these guys are contributing in other ways that don't necessarily put up on the score sheet, I think is accustomed to what Dominic Dawes has done with this team and the mindset that they have been able to go ahead and put forth in this program across all of it. I mean, not only the men's side, but the women's side and the club team side as well. So the men will take this year as a learning experience more so, and then move on to next year. There's going to be a lot of juniors, a lot of impact juniors that will be bumped up in their last year trying to get back, try to get to the tournament first off. And you're going to have a lot of younger guys, hungrier guys. I mean, you saw the likes of Chris Lee start to go ahead and make a name for himself late in the season. Luke Benitez was a tough guy in front of the net on the power play and also in different situations, key situations, they put him out there. So these guys are going to be moving up in class. So it's something to look forward to. There's a lot to be happy about with Stevenson and the culture they're creating there. And we'll just have to see what they can do moving forward with, you know, guys like Brenza and Gray and Ripley also moving on to their professional careers. But onward and upward for these gentlemen as they continue to roll along. On the flip side of that, the women, they had a better season this year, especially with a first-year coach in Tori Emhoff. I mean, that was a huge thing for them as to get a alumnus back on the bench, and that was it was a very cool thing to see how she was able to ingrain the culture that started this entire program back to the ladies who are playing there. 12-9-5, a winning record for this team. 8-5-3 in conference. Women winning the MAC. 6-3-2 at home. 6-6-2 on the road, and 1 overtime loss in neutral site games. 73 goals, 2.81 per game, and putting up almost 37 shots a game for this team. A rough patch of the season. Very up and down. They ended the season fairly strong on a 5-game winning streak before losing in the frozen in the Final Four. I mean, this is a team that started to find their identity late into the year. It's a team that only lost 4 of their last 15 games after semester break. Granted, they tied 3 of those games, but still, that's a pretty good record to end the season. Pretty good, especially coming off of a semester break like that. For these ladies to have that push in the second season, get them into a playoff, winning a playoff game, but ultimately losing in the Final Four to the top-ranked Elmira team, which I don't think many teams would have beaten them in the position they were given. Goaltending-wise, senior and juniors just going all out. Annie Smith-Hammond had a hell of a season, 193 goals against, 925 save percentage, a 7-6-2 record. Anika Carlander, the same kind of situation, 203 goals against, 919 save percentage, 5-3-3 on that side. So goaltending was solid. To lose Annie Smith-Hammond as a senior is not great because of the fact that she did reach a couple plateaus for, I believe, the 1,000 save mark for this organization. So to lose a veteran presence like that, always a hit. But I think in Anika Carlander, they're going to have a lot of confidence in her back in net for next season. Nikki Kendrick, only a sophomore, leading the team in points, better than a point per game, 16 goals, 27 points, 3 power play goals, and 2 shorthanded goals. And a stat that doesn't really necessarily go doesn't go noticed as much is the fact that game tying goals at 2. So that's pretty dang good right there. that's something that knows that this is someone who can play in the clutch. Carly Aguirre, as a freshman, also had a bang-up season. 9 goals, 25 points, 3 power play goals for her this season. Trin Barkless, as a junior, 12-12, 24, plus 21 on the plus-minus side of things. While seniors Jordan Perillo and Allison Barlow also had bang-up seasons, 8-8, 16 for Perillo with 6 power play goals, and Barlow 4-11 with a plus 10 there. T. Ferreira, as a sophomore, 7 power play goals for her. 7 of her 8 goals were on the with the extra person advantage. So this is a team that, you know, up and down, you look up and down this roster, everybody contributed. I mean, you heard Elizabeth Goudreau's name called out, Paige Sullivan, Ashlyn Bray towards the end of the season as well, Allie Gibson, Khalilo Zaliga. Like, you hear these names, especially towards the end of the season, starting to ramp things up, starting to get going, and starting to find their way with this organization. And hopefully they can take what they learned this year, especially since there's, you know, only a couple seniors leaving, Perillo, Barlow, and Annie Smith-Hammond, as well as Carly McGee and Rachel Gruitt. They're all leaving, but the culture that was grown and what they learned from this is going to go forward for this young team. A lot of sophomores in this group, so they got 2 more years of this. The window's still kind of open depending on what kind of recruits come in as well. So we will have to take a look at this. It's going to be a team to watch, that's for sure. When we first started this podcast, they were the team to watch, and they still are, I think, from my vantage point, with the talent that they have and the balance of attack that they have as well. So a tip of the cap to the ladies on Stevenson, and here's hoping next year is the year and not some kind of weird plague comes out of all of this. To wrap all of it up, we will go to the Naval Academy. The U.S. Naval Academy went ahead and they got again to the finals of the ECHC and just couldn't push forward and get that ship. But for them, a decent season. Last year they had 25 wins. Didn't play as many games this year. 16-8 and 4. All right, so here we go. The ACHA website is garbage. So they have 16 wins, 8 losses, no ties, 1 overtime win, 2 overtime losses, 2 shootout losses, 107 goals for, 75 goals against. Get it? Got it? Good. So despite not being able to win the ECHA, they were able to go ahead and win the Crab Pot, which is huge for them. It's back-to-back years after some time without it. Overall, I think you look at this team, and they had a lot of scoring. I mean, the top guys, Joe Kelly and Connor Hyden, both 40-point club members. Kelly, 20 goals and 44 points with 4 power play goals and 6 game-winning goals. Connor Hyden coming on, you know, going ahead and making sure that they know that he's the better Hyden. 16 goals, 41 points, 3 goals on the power play, 3 game-winning goals. Captain Derek Golombrowski, 16 for 28 and 6 power play goals of his own, having a great senior season for him. And all as well, only 8 penalty minutes, pretty dang good. Well, John Scaccia with the senior as well, 8 goals, 27 points from the blue line, 3 on the power play. So a big offensive side of things. Goaltending was phenomenal. I mean, Charles Daughtry had a hell of a season, 12-8-0, 243 goals against with a shutout and a .928 save percentage. Casey McCormick also had a great season when he was put in there, 5-3-0, 214 goals against, a shutout, and a .928 as well for a save percentage. So these young goaltenders are going to be moving forward with this team. A lot of these guys are going to be back next year for Navy, but there's a lot of open spaces for this team as well. I mean, I believe 6 players leaving from Navy, so a huge hole to be filled, and we'll have to see how they fill it and what they can do from these guys boosting from last year, what they can go ahead and do for next year, and hopefully finally get over that hump in the ECHA and get themselves that ship, get the ship back, as I guess Navy kids like to call it. I honestly don't know, but a shout out to them and a tip of the cap to the midshipmen for all they do on and off the ice. So thank you, gentlemen. Best of luck and anchors away. Did I use that properly? Probably not. Probably not. Some players. And there's not much to report. Literally, Sam Ennis had 1 game last week since we last talked before everything went to hell. He had an assist on Wednesday. That put him at the 70-point plateau for the season. Shout out to him for getting that recognition. So, I mean, it's huge for him. Congratulations to him to getting that. But, I mean, given the circumstances, boy, crap's wild, right? And we'll have a wrap-up of Players of the Year because, obviously, all the seasons are over. And we will be able to, well, except the AHL. But, by and large, most of the seasons are over, and we'll go ahead and put that forth to you guys next week because there's going to be a lot of open space. A lot of open space to talk about. And with that, we will talk about what is going to happen now. Obviously, there will be a show next week. We will talk about Team Maryland. We'll talk about the Black Bears regular season. And we'll talk about the players in a year in review format. After that, really anyone's guess. I could put out to the masses what you guys will want to listen to, what you guys want to hear about Maryland hockey. What are things that I may have missed? What are things you want clarifications on? Anything you guys want. We are very, very open here. So if there's something that you guys want to hear or want to listen to or want to hear me babble about for a half hour or so, let me know. And then we can figure this whole thing out together. Even if it has to be a long-form situation, I'm more than happy with doing that as well. So holler at your boy, Chesapeake HW Pod. That's on the Twitter and on the Facebook. You guys can get me on there and tell me what you guys want, what you really, really want. Zig-a-zig-ah. So, yeah, that's enough pop culture reference for me. So let me know what you guys want to hear after next week. Like I said, next week we'll do a wrap-up of the Black Bears regular season, and then we'll do a wrap-up of Team Maryland and the players, and then that'll be it. We'll do it to it and then move on and upward from there. So that's it. That's all. Hopefully you guys are staying safe out there. Yeah, all the best to you guys. You know, be smart out there for Pete's sakes. Let's not get stupid. Let's not hoard toilet paper, everybody. Much love to all of you. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Until I speak to you again next week, let me know what you guys want to hear after this. And you know what? Just always have that Clutch and Crab hockey in your heart, folks, because it's always going to be there. On the Natty Bow in the freezer. It's going to get us through this apocalypse. Going to go get some Natty Bow, get some crab chips. Hoard some crab chips. You can hoard crab chicks. Ups has got a whole lot of them. Don't worry about it there, hon. They can produce them. It's fine for everybody. See you there next week.